Welcome to the Great Lakes Golf Podcast. This is Hunter Pulaski alongside Brad Burkaw. We are brought to you by Reed Furniture. Whatever your furniture need, it is Reed indeed. In this week's episode, the Open Championship, the 152nd playing at Royal Troon is in the books. Xander Schauffele is two-time major champion this year. What a difference a couple months makes. We have the Dana Open LPGA down in Ohio. We will touch on that. The Girls Junior Amateur Championship taking place in California. We had two girls from Michigan representing the state. We will talk about how they fared. We will break down the 3M Open. We are back to stateside golf after a couple weeks in Europe, and we will talk about that, do the odds board. But first, Brad, the Open Championship, Xander Schauffele wins at 9 under par. What are your takeaways? I mean, heck of a finish on Sunday, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he played lights out on Sunday, but he was just captain consistency to get himself into a position. I mean, he played lights out, but it wasn't the low round of the week. It might have tied. I could be wrong, but he is putting himself in position, and that's what's important for his game. I think he's just like even keel, very steady.
Yeah, just when you. And I feel like that was always, and maybe that just goes to show how close somebody can be in the game of golf without any results to show for it, where it doesn't really feel like he's doing a ton differently than what he was a year or two. He's striking the ball really, really solid. I feel like he's always been a really good putter, but he is finally, like, he is hitting the ball so solid, very consistently, and it just puts him in consistent spots to win golf tournaments. Because this is probably just a testament to me being a dummy, but going into Sunday, I looked right past his name. I think I might have glanced at it for a second. I no offense to our boy Dan Brown and Billy Horschel, but I did kind of rule them out of the picture a little bit, and I was going down as far as like the plus twos, the even pars, and I just went right over Xander's name. And I feel like I got to stop doing that. This guy is really good and like really different types of golf courses. I mean, we find a single comp between Valhalla and Royal Troon. I don't think you'd have a tough time.
No, oh, yeah. Yeah, I was admittedly, the only reason why he was really even on my radar is the member guest I was at this weekend, Dallas, he had him in one of his pools. So he was obviously like eyeing him hardcore, so we were keeping our eye on him. But he's such an easy story to root for. I mean, his backstory, obviously his college career, is unique. And something that came out with this win is he had this saying that him and his, I think it's his caddy or his trainer, I can't remember which one, but it's something along the lines of like, dripping water hollows out the stone, not through force but through persistence. And how he applies that to his golf game, and how he says he's not trying to make drastic changes very quickly. He does very, very small changes, but those changes over time cumulatively add up to where he is now. And I think that, I don't know, it's just kind of a cool, I just liked it. I don't know, it resonated with me.
Yeah, I feel like we are put in an interesting spot now where I think it's very clear that Scottie Scheffler is player of the year. Like, I think you have to give it to him. He has 6 wins. That's a lot of victories on the PGA Tour. With one major, but I don't, let's just say Xander wins the Tour Championship, because I don't think I'd be surprised if he plays again. We only have 2 more events left in the regular season. Maybe he plays the Wyndham. I'd be surprised if he does. But then the playoffs come, and it sure is making it interesting. Like, the fact that he does have those 2 majors, and on 2 totally different golf courses. I don't know if. I feel like everyone's trying to find a reason to discredit Scotty. When he was still there, he was still finished in T7th.
Yeah, well, it is fair. His record, and obviously his record in the majors this year, is incredible. Have to wonder if the conviction is going to play into it at all. Can you give it to a guy who's gone to jail?
Yeah, that is true. I mean, yeah, there's a standard that we must.
There's another joke in there, but I'm not going to say it.
I totally missed it. If you okay, whoa,
it's too political.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're trying to go down the road. No.
We're taking a hard left. We're taking a hard left. No, it is. It is interesting that he's making a shake for it. It's obviously got to go to Scotty, though.
Yes.
I mean, if it didn't go to Scotty, then it's rigged.
Absolutely, but at the same time, I would like to see Scotty win a major besides the Masters next year. I thought this was a very big week for Scotty. I think he proved that he can play this style of golf course. Or this style of golf well, but he's still and this is me trying to find any way to discredit Scotty by saying he hasn't won one after this year. We're talking about in the group. He won like mid June this year, but prior to this year hadn't won since or prior past April of that calendar year. So they're really he's more of a sprinter.
Yeah.
Maybe not much of a marathon guy.
But. Well, and it's, which is funny because I look at his scores this weekend, 70, 70, 71, 72. Same rounds, basically 4 days straight.
Yep.
Which is even funnier. Matthew Jordan, 71, 71, 71, 71. That is literally the same rounds, 4 days straight. But I mean, yeah, he didn't quite dip into, he didn't do anything wrong, but he didn't do anything like amazingly right. If that makes sense.
No, I think
he didn't put himself out of it, but he didn't put himself in it.
Yeah, could have got the putter going a little more.
Oh, putter was terrible.
What he could have, and just to finish out the rest of that leaderboard, Justin Rose finished T2nd. I love that guy's golf swing so much. It looks, I mean, it is picture perfect. He tied with Billy Horschel, who really kind of turned into a fan favorite. Given that he makes a point to play on the European Tour a few times a year for I think a good majority of his career now. So I think they enjoy watching him over there. So he finished at minus seven as well. And just to that point, on Saturday afternoon, those guys looked like they were in hell. It was coming down the stretch, those last six holes, all into a straight into the wind. Some of these numbers you were hearing about driver on 480 yard holes, they were hitting 235 yard drives. I think Billy Horschel missed the last six greens in a row and got up five out of six times. So he had that dog in him on the back nine on Saturday, and that was fun to watch. And to that point, I'll finish up the leaderboard, then I have a point to that. Tristan Lawrence, who was kind of the no-name that held his own on Sunday, he played great, ended up shooting 68, held the lead for a while, kind of in the middle stages there, and you kept expecting him to crack, and he just wouldn't. Russell Henley finished in fifth place at 500 par. Shane Lowry at 400 par, solo sixth place. Then we had three guys at T7. John Rahm, Sungjae Im, Scottie Scheffler, all at minus one. And then three guys at T10, Matthew Jordan, Adam Scott, and Daniel Brown, who became kind of a crowd favorite there. There was that picture of him smoking a cig on the 18th hole on Saturday, taking pictures with fans.
Yes, that was hilarious.
That was really funny. My point I was going to make, Shane Lowry. My stereotype of Shane Lowry, I think that's the wrong word, but my stereotype of Shane Lowry has always been very like happy-go-lucky guy. Seems like he gets along with everyone. You get him a little wet, he just gets angry. Like he's an angry dog when he gets wet. I didn't expect that out of him. He was yelling at people. He was just downright mad for four straight days, which worked out in his favor for like 40-ish holes, and then things kind of started to hit the fan a little bit and he struggled. But he went 66-69, held what was had to be a one or two shot lead, was playing really well, and then he shot 77 in round three. And was like I said, angry.
Yeah, he was. He also had a post round presser that he did, where he was just bashing the course, just saying how the tee should have been moved up, and you know, kind of, I'll say complaining a little bit, but I still love Shane Lowry. I got to admit, though, I wanted Justin Rose to win. I did. I was rooting for Rose hard on Sunday. I wanted him to pull through. Would have been a cool story. And obviously he, you know, every player out there really wants to win it. But I think for him, probably meant a little bit more maybe than to some of these other guys. And there was a chance he had a shot there, but man, I was pulling for Justin hard Sunday.
Yeah. I think that's who it was like a leaderboard where I don't think I was really picking favorites. I think it was between Billy, which is, maybe a little bit of a polarizing pick. I think I've had periods where I really didn't like Billy Horschel and kind of thought he was a little bit of a dweeb and whatnot. But I've kind of made like a 160, 140-ish on Billy Horschel, and I'm back on him a little bit. Just given how long it's been since he has performed at a high level. Nice to see. But Justin Rose, obviously Rose would have been it. But I'm okay with Xander winning. I think it's...
Oh, yeah.
I have no problem. I mean, what he has done over the last 3 months, because the conversation 3 months ago, 4 months ago, after even like just the Masters, or even after the there are other occurrences throughout the season where he wasn't able to close it out, and people are kind of wondering if this is going to be his, what Xander's known for. I think I might even have said those exact words, but he has obviously proven those wrong. The postage stamp, the short little par three, number eight, obviously the exact opposite of was it the U.S. Open or Valhalla that had the 270 yard par three, or like a really super long par three. It was just a ridiculous length. One of those two. And that's, I don't think that's what a par three is supposed to be. Those guys probably, the scoring average was probably lower on that hole than it was on a little 100 to 115, 118 yard hole. I loved that hole.
Oh yeah.
Looks.
Shane Lowry said it was the best hole on the course.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's proof that usually a lot of those smaller, or those shorter holes, those pros still just eat up. Like I'm thinking like the Pebble Beach, that par three, number seven, along the water is a little flip wedge, and that hole always gets tore up. But for some reason, this one, I think it's just that crosswind with such a spinny wedge in your hand is such a hard shot. But I mean, that was kind of just the epitome of that whole golf course and how much I really enjoy watching them play Link style.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if you saw it, but, on the postage stamp, the bunker there, Minwoo Lee posted, did you see what he said about the guys who rake? So each group, for those of you who haven't seen it, there's a person that follows them, and they will kind of follow behind and rake the bunkers for them. Number eight, the postage stamp, the short hole we're talking about, had a specific person who was assigned to the bunker for the whole weekend. And so Minwoo like basically posted saying sorry to the guy, because he had to have just been getting a nice little workout in. Working in that bunker over the weekend. But it's very funny that just one specific person, they must have that touch.
Yeah, I don't know. That feels like they did that to themselves. They must be knowing. They must be like, this guy.
Don't be so good.
Paulie, like he can rake a bunker. Like you've never seen somebody rake a bunker. And, can you?
You know who that? I feel like that'd be Lou. Yeah. Lou would be assigned to number eight.
Yeah. You want to rake one bunker? You can rake all the bunkers now. I don't know what the exact number was, but it seemed like it was, if they were in threesomes, first three rounds, then in a twosomes, or maybe it might have been twosomes both the weekend days, there was maybe 60% of the group was in the bunker on the postage stamp every hole, or every group.
Nice little workout.
Yeah, absolutely. Notable guys to miss the cut, Bryson DeChambeau, who had kind of obviously been the talk of the town with how well he played at Pinehurst, but they're also at the same time, the thing that I wear Pinehurst, he was missing fairways left and right. Not as easy to hit through this fescue as the Pinehurst number two fescue. So maybe not super surprising just given his driving accuracy woes. Ludvig Åberg, a little bit surprising. I mean, just it's nice to show that he's human. Nice to see that he's human. But I was not expecting this. Tommy Fleetwood, Tony Finau, Victor Hovland, Cameron Smith, and then Rory McIlroy.
Huge, that one, yeah.
Rory McIlroy made a really silly comment, I think. He said something along the lines of, it was like the 22nd hole of the day, or of the tournament. He made a 8 or 9 on hole 3, I think, of his second round, and pretty much just admitted that he just mailed it in at that point, which which is unfortunate.
I missed this. Are you serious?
Yeah. Let me see if I can quickly.
He literally basically admitted that he was going to be giving up.
Yes. That it was in. Yes, pretty much. And I'm not like prefacing words or making it more of hyperbole.
That is that is not something that you hear very often, especially from someone like Rory McIlroy, but
okay,
that's hilarious.
See if I can.
Yeah, while you're looking that up, certainly was very shocked to see some of the names on here. Some more than others. Rory for sure stuck out to me. I think I would have expected Bryson to play a little bit better, but he kind of seems like he's in this like happy-go-lucky life, moment of life now where the guys are asking him about him missing the cut, and he's just like, yeah, that's golf, dude. It's frustrating. And he's just like, whatever. But yeah, Rory, I would have expected a bit more from, for sure. I mean, all those guys are great caliber players, but...
Okay, so this is what he said. He said... Rory McIlroy gave up. I think once I made the 8 on the 4th hole, that was it. 22 holes into the event, and I'm thinking about where I'm going on vacation next week.
Oh my god.
I mean, have a little backbone, Rory. Come on. Buckle down.
After I got a little respect in there for him. Got a little respect in there.
Might have broke the guy.
He's the guy. That's like the guy that you tip your cap to when you're playing in a packed tournament, and he's out of the hole and just picks his ball right up. It's like, all right, thanks, buddy.
See the next hole.
Yep.
We kind of started talking about it. I did. So I pulled that list, and this might be a testament to just like how much of an under the radar where it's kind of going now. I pulled that list, and that list didn't include Wyndham Clark, who finished like fairly low on the leaderboard. I don't know what to make of this, where his finishes have been really not the best this season. He's going into the Olympics, which top 4 American golfers, like you, if I were him or if I were on his part of his team, this was a tournament you'd really like him to play well at to kind of solidify that spot. In the Open, or rather in the Olympics, especially when the 3 other guys that are going with him are in terrific form, all playing really solid golf right now. Colin Morikawa looks like he's about to break through. Obviously, Xander, not much to complain about there. Scottie Scheffler. And then he definitely feels like the redheaded stepchild right now. And I don't really know what to make of it. It did seem like on Friday he shot 78 or 80 on Thursday, and then it looked like Friday he kind of just went like, we're just going to go for it, like sort of thing where he just went, and that turned out to not be the strategy that was going to do well, because at the end of the day, he really only needed to shoot 1 or 2 under par to make the cut. The cut ended up getting to 6 over par. It was a damn hard day out there on Friday. So it worries me. Like I think, because it's not like he just won the U.S. Open. He won earlier this year. Like it's not like that was a single time win. He's still 5th in the FedEx Cup. So that doesn't just happen because you won a tournament last year. That is this year's standings. It just feels weird that you just aren't seeing his name. And it's like I know that because Mac's asking where his name is every week. So like it's it's hard to cover up where he's been on the leaderboard.
Yeah, he's he is the true wild card for the Americans going to France for the Olympics, and in two senses, really. One, in the point that you made, in that the guys that he's going with are playing some good golf and they're looking solid heading over there. And I think people are pretty confident in that. But it too, in that he's a wild card just in himself and his play. He's the guy that he either plays well, like top 10, like he's playing well, chance to win it, or he's missing the cut. And there's no in between.
Yeah.
And it's like, so like that is intriguing because it's like you bring that guy over there and it's like, well, he might win. I mean, when he plays well, he beats people. Like he plays very, very well. But when he doesn't, man, it's like, it's tough. And I mean, he has a T10 and a T9 at the Genesis and the Travelers in June this year. Those are great scores. But then Memorial missed cut, PGA missed the cut, and then a T3 at the RBC Heritage, and then missed the cut at the Masters. And it's like so up and down. But obviously, it's not like we're hand selecting them. But I think that for the upside that he has, it's I wouldn't say it's like an empty slot. Like I could see him winning. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he won. Like, it wouldn't blow my mind. When he's on, he's on.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And we need to get it back onto the on side of things.
He just needs to be on more often.
Flip that switch.
Yes.
All right. A couple more things from the Open Championship. I know you are certified John Rahm hater, day one hater. Maybe the biggest one on the internet, but I thought it was fun to watch him make his little charge Sunday morning. At least it kind of lit the fire of the tournament a little bit, I think, where I don't know what he ended up going out in, but he got to 4 or 5 under on the front nine early. And that was fun to watch. I'm sure you had different thoughts.
No, not at all. I think John Rahm has been struggling as of late, but when he's on, he's one of the most fun players to watch. His wedges, I mean, he hit some of that shot he hit out of the long grass to make birdie on one of the first few holes. Like, he's entertaining to watch. I think that I try to separate his golfing ability from his off the course antics. His off the course antics suck, are terrible. The guy needs to figure it out. But when he plays golf and he's playing golf well, I'll watch the guy anytime, any day.
excuse me. One final question I have, or just comment, that I feel like we're going to sound like a lot of other podcasts or anybody with a mic in front of them, but I really, really enjoy links style golf. And I don't know how to get a lot of these prima donnas to play more golf in overseas. Like it seems like this is really fun to watch this. And maybe it's just because it's so different is a big part of it. Why, like, that's just like the stupid human brain getting something new and exciting is the cool thing. But I really think, like, if you did a few weeks a year, because right now it's really just the Scottish Open and the Open, a couple more tournaments a year I think people would really enjoy that. And I think it would make the DP World Tour feel much more included than what they probably currently feel getting one co-sanctioned event a year. That's not very many.
No, I could not agree more. Links golf. So the course that I played this past weekend is a links style golf course. And, you know, I don't know the course super well. So I'm asking my partner, like, where do I hit this wedge shot? And he's telling me, go way over, you know, way over on this side of the green, because it all funnels over here. And then you hit the shot, and there's just something so cool about watching the ball just slowly start going somewhere that you had no expectation of it traveling in any shape or form. And I think even aside from that, think of any person who plays golf, young or old, when you find a hole and you're like, man, that shot from up there would be real tough. And you try to hit this like crazy downhiller that's impossible to stop. And it's like this, you know, you try to maybe putt it or do whatever, like you have to get super creative with it. We all love that. Like I'll find myself on a hole, even if I don't hit my ball over there, I'll be like, that would be a really hard shot. And you go drop it down and you try and hit it. That's links golf. And that's what we all love it. I feel like it's creative. It's, I don't know. It's different. And I to me, it's more fun. So,
yeah, well, and that's, I feel like that's what we're so accustomed to now in America, and I don't really know why it happened like this. It really is. There are so many different ways to play a golf shot at a golf course like Royal Troon, where you can look at a shot and instantly have three or four different options. Where it feels like in the U.S., that's just not the case. A lot of times, you have to go high with it more times than not. Very rarely backstops, things like that. I love courses that have anything like that, that have places where you can play it from, but there's just not enough of it here. So we get stuck with this like dartboard golf and wedges. I saw a tweet from Andy Johnson, I think from Fried Egg. It was essentially talking about experience and needing experience to play well at the Open. The Open is typically an older guy wins, whether that be, and sometimes even kind of like it can be a random guy at times, but more times than not, the leaderboard for this week, top 10, was well over the age, average age, over 30, which is not super common for major golf. And I think that has a lot to do with, you are trained just to hit wedges, driver wedges on the PGA Tour, and here, and like there's not many variables in that situation. It's driver wedges, not much wind, land it here, it'll stop. Over across the pond, there's just, you have to use so many more parts of your brain, it feels like, and forced to think so much more, where experience really does come into play.
Yeah, Scotty was doing an interview and basically saying how in the States, if he's up around the green, Teddy's bringing him two clubs, and 90% of the time it's a lob wedge. Sometimes it's a lower lofted wedge, but over there, Teddy's bringing him five clubs. He's bringing him sandwich, all of his wedges, plus an 8-iron and you know, maybe a 5-iron, and it's just totally different. So you could be the same distance in the U.S. You have a 20-yard shot, but you're going to play a lob wedge every time. But over there, you can have a 20-yard shot. You can play it five different ways.
Yeah. I'm jealous of the. I mean, it's not like we're starved of DP World Tour golf. I mean, it's on every weekend. It's on early in the morning, and it's there to watch. And maybe we should be watching more of it. There's guys like Matthew Jordan and guys like
Tristan.
Yeah. Tristan Lawrence and Daniel Brown, that I don't even think Daniel Brown had status on the DP World Tour, but guys like that obviously are really close. That, I mean, it's not like they're playing courses like Royal Troon every week, but just to feel that style of golf would be nice. Anything else from the Open?
No, I think that was about it. It was a good tournament, good scoring. I thought 7-under was going to win it, but I thought 7-under was going to win it going into Sunday, not going into the weekend.
Yeah, it definitely calmed down on Sunday, which I think changed. I would have loved to see it stay kind of not quite as bad as it was Saturday and Friday, but if it would have, I don't know if I love seeing a 65 to close it, but overall, very, very good tournament.
Yeah.
Moving on to the Dana Open, which was in Sylvania, Ohio this past weekend for the LPGA. Jeanette Wanison won the tournament at 20 under par, 66, 65, 66, 67. Haran Ru finished in solo second. She shot 67, 68, 65, 65, finished at 19 under par. Su Chia Chang finished T3rd alongside Lynn Grant, both at 14 under par. And Mary Lou finished T5, 68, 65, 70, 69. And finally, Zhu Lin finished also at T5, 65, 67, 70, 70 to be at 12 under par. They are, I want to say they are now off until actually, they are playing this week up in the Canada Women's Open up in Calgary. So Brooke Henderson's home tournament. We will update you with scores for that next week. And then the Girls Junior Amateur Championship taking place in El
Caballero?
Yeah, that sounds right. Country Club. And that is in Tarzana, California. We had two girls from Michigan, Lauren Timpf who ended up making it to match play. She lost in the first round, one up to Catherine Ha from Roanoke, Virginia. And then Elena Lee from Okemos also played, but she unfortunately missed the cut. And moving on to the 3M Open Championship, hosted by TPC Twin Cities in Blaine, Minnesota. This is the penultimate event of the year. So we are coming down to the nitty gritty, especially for only having the top 70 guys make the playoffs this year. A little bit about the golf course. This is polar opposites, which will be very much on display to Royal Troon. This is Parkland Golf Course. There are lots of ponds, man-made water areas, 27 of them, lots of sand traps, designed by Arnold Palmer back in 2000, but it was renovated by the PGA Tour for this event back in 2018. Par 71, 74,000 or 7,400 yards, bent grass throughout on the greens and fairways. Rough is some bluegrass fescue that gets to about 2.5 inches. Very, very easy golf course. Very different. And I think this is a disservice to the great people of Blaine, Minnesota, that we're going right from Royal Troon into the 3M Open just to really solidify how different these two golf courses are going to play. We talk about darts. This is darts. Do you have an odds board by chance?
I do. Got the, we're going to do the top 12, skip the last. So top 11. Coming in as the favorite this week, Tony Finau, 11-1. Right behind him, we've got Mr. Sam Burns, 18-1. Akshay Bhatia and Sahith Theegala, both at 22-1. Luke Clanton, amateur. Very shocked to see him very so high up on the odds board, but I think he's earned it at this point. 28-1 for Mr. Clanton. Billy Horschel coming off his performance at Royal Troon, along with Keith Mitchell and Keegan Bradley, are all at 30-1. Tom Hoagie, 33-1. Taylor Pendrith and JT Poston rounded out here at 35-1. How about Luke Clanton? What a story.
Yeah. Not out of nowhere that he'd be. I was not expecting to see his name sandwiched in between Heath Theegala and runner-up Billy Horschel or third-place finisher Billy Horschel on the odds board this week. But hard to say it's not well-deserved. I think this is very much like a how much do you really want it week. Like you gotta want to play golf this week. I think you can in a lot of ways, I think you can eliminate anybody that played in the Open, which may not be the most successful model or the best model to work off of, but that's you're getting your butt kicked for between 2 and 4 days. You're there for practice rounds, travel, whatnot. Like you're maybe just getting back to being acclimated, especially if you made the cut and you had to play 4 days in that, you really gotta be like a, you really have to want it, like I said. So I don't love a lot of these guys that are making the trip over. So like a Luke Clanton pick, I don't think an outright, but God, you'd be silly not to think about top 10 just given, but that number's gotta be so deflated by now or inflated.
Yeah. I mean, if you make a good point with a lot of these guys at the Open. I mean, I look at Sam Burns' number and I think that's incredibly deflated, inflated, whichever way you want to call it. I think he got lucky based on how his round went on. He got lucky. He missed the weather, right? He was one of the guys who played well in the morning, missed all of the nasty weather, and then next day just clearly wasn't in the same realm as some of the other guys who were playing well. So I don't even know if I'd look at him for a finishing position, but guys like an Akshay Bhatia, I could see Akshay winning this.
Yeah, so he missed the cut this past week. Shot 7 over. Tony Finau missed the cut. Steve Thigala played just downright awful. So all of these guys, if they were smart, they maybe are less like Sam Burns. Not winning this golf tournament. I'll stake my name on that. Maybe if he does, good for him. But that's,
those 2 days are big. Those are two. You know,
and it's not even like traveling alone. Just having those 2 days, but then not considering the fact that they're playing this very hard golf course that's just so mentally demanding and just drains you, can definitely play a factor. I think I like Keith Mitchell a lot this week. I don't know why. I think that's ball striker where he's just going to be. He did not play this past week. So that's a name that I see and I actually don't mind at all. And whatever number you had him at there at 30-1. Let me quickly pull up. You have the odds board right in front of you?
Yeah.
All right, let's see who is just with it being the penultimate event of the year. Let's see who's kind of around that 70 number. And see if that makes. So Lucas Glover, your boy. Don't know what the weather's going to be like in Blaine, Minnesota this week, but he is at 71. Lee Hodges is at 72. Luke List is at 70. And Keith Mitchell is actually at 75, so that is another reason to. I mean, if you're gonna make the playoffs, you gotta play well now.
Yeah, Alejandro Toasty in the field this week. Haven't heard that name in a bit.
Yeah,
fiery little son of a gun.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I do. This is very much TPC golf course, very, very resorty in that sense that I feel like it looks really, really pretty, really green, very, very Midwest style golf. So I do enjoy watching this tournament, but it is tough when you see the scores get to where they get to, super, super low in comparison to, obviously, Royal Troon got to 9, one guy got to 9, majority of the field way over par. So just a little taste, a little something different.
Yeah, whenever I think of this tournament, I just think of Joey Garber.
Yeah.
Because this was the one that he played very well at.
Yes.
Finished top 10, I believe.
While we're on the subject, I hope I'm not completely... He played really well. Hope I'm not too early to this where I'm end up souring his name, but he was. Let's see here. Bad podcasting.
I've got his results pulled up here.
From what did he, how did he play this past week? He shot really
at the Price Cutter charity.
Yep.
Highland Springs. He finished T40, 65, 72, 71, 66.
Those scores are so low.
Yeah, 65 and a 66.
you've been lied and led astray if you think even par is a good score.
He shot 14 under par and he plays T40.
Yeah, it's sad.
There's another one, 14 under par, T20. That's crazy.
Lordy. You had a member guest this week. I had a member guest this weekend as well. I'm excited. How did... Sounds like maybe the results weren't quite. I don't know if I love the playing against somebody. I almost wonder if playing the course, like how we do it, is more fun. I'd like to try it your way, but I don't know if that increases the chances of sandbagging or decreases.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it is interesting. It was fun. It was we were in the top flight. We played with some good players. Play with a guy who shot 4 under on 9, which is always tough. hard to beat that. He was actually like two under through three, and we were just like, well, here we go. But it was a lot of fun. The course is very fun. It's a link style course. The greens are awesome. I hit some great putts. The putter is feeling very, very good this year. I think drilling those putts all winter on my little mat with my mirror has certainly paid off. Hit a couple of good shots. I had a shot on, if you remember, so number 14 is the one. This is Lochinhith Golf Club. Number 14 kind of goes to the right. There's that little stream that kind of goes along there, and it has the turtleback green. Stuck my second shot from about 160 to all of 6 inches. Got to tap in for a net eagle. I actually stroked on that hole, which was pretty awesome.
That's a hard hole. The drive on that hole I've always really struggled with. What hit off the tee.
Yes, that we were playing the blues, so pretty much as long as you didn't go way left with your driver, you were good. You couldn't go through. But that second shot is one of the hardest second shots ever with that turtleback green. The landing zone is so small, but I got lucky that I got close enough that I could play a higher loft or a higher, you know, lofted shot in and landed a little softer. But so we had some good shots, you know, had some sparks in there, able to provide a little bit. But man, that course is one that you got to know for sure. There were there was one putt that just sticks out in my head so much. The guy we were playing against, he was the member there. He ends up on the back of one of these greens, and I can tell it's pretty downhill. This guy sets up 90 degrees from the hole. I kid you not. He's facing the complete opposite direction of the hole. And I'm like, is this guy like on drugs or something? Like he is way off. Like this ball is going to, he just barely taps it and he almost made it. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, I would have never in my all of my years have guessed that I would have needed to play it that far over. And so we talked about earlier with link style golf and the creativity and stuff. So it was cool to see some of those guys that know the course well, especially Dallas. That guy's played there more times than probably anybody. So to watch them kind of shape their shops around and then to be able to, you know, oftentimes when you're playing, you're not constantly asking, where should I hit this? Where should I hit this putt? But in those style events, it's usually a little bit more acceptable to ask where to play shots. And so to have someone say, hey, hit your shot over here. And then if you're able to do it and then it almost goes in or whatever is just so fun. So it was a good time.
Are you any thought that maybe you're just a good greens away from being a good putter? Like if you just had faster greens that were like Bayview or Birchwood or Lochinhith, that you would actually just be a good putter.
I'm glad you brought it up, but not glad that you brought it up because it's crossed my mind. Because when I go and play places, like when I played with you at Bayview, was one of the best putting rounds I've ever had, but that's because Bayview rolls their greens very well. Yeah. And if you hit your line, it goes in. So I don't know. I can't go down that route or I'll go insane.
Okay. I was just wondering. It seems like I've noticed it's, every time you play at like good golf courses, you seem to putt well.
There's something there, but I'm not willing yet players. So you've got yours coming. You said yours is coming up, right? This weekend?
This Thursday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah. Practice round Thursday.
Yeah. Same old setup. I like I was saying, I don't know if I like ours more than I think I would feel, because ours is all stroke play, so it's scramble and then one out of two best ball, alternate shot, and then two out of two combined score. My only fear with the when you're playing against guys in your group is like if you lose one match, in a lot of, it feels like you're out of it a lot of ways. Like you run into like a buzzsaw team, right? Where like I feel like we always that combined score on the last round, nine holes, just kills teams. Like just makes them like absolutely just takes the wind out of them. It all takes is the higher handicapper just having a blow up hole, which they're known to do. And that's where I think I prefer our style, but I've never played just that kind of style, which I'd like to just at least try it. But that'd be kind of my first inclination is that it would be if you feel in it the entire time with the way it's set up.
So I have 2 points there. First, I would rather do your style. I think that if you want to try this, both the ones that I've done this year, best, just true best ball whole way. I think it'd be fun to have different formats. I think it'd be cool to mix it up. You know, a lot of them will do for the horse race or for the final, whatever, they'll do an alternate shot, but it'd be cool to have that actually integrated as one of the rounds. And then to your point on the scoring, it came up this weekend. It came up in mine. All it takes is for the group that's in second place to play the group that's in last, and for the group that's in last to just mail it in and say, I don't care anymore. I'm in last place. I'm totally out of it. You can have all the points. I'm going to play like shit and not care. And then that group, if the group that's in first is playing the group that's in third and they have a competitive match, you know, it's just, so I think that that stroke play just does, it makes more sense. It keeps people in it. And then it's also like, if you're having to keep track of your actual stroke play, I don't want to see a 95 up there for my score. Yeah. I don't want you're 100 or whatever, you know, like you're going to try to keep it respectable for your own sake, I think.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So we'll see. It looks like the weather's still really nice. This is always a fun event. Whatever, fifth year now playing in it. I think I'm kind of just stuck with Mitch forever until he just gives up the game, maybe, or maybe he has some work commitment. I think I've told him, like, if he misses one, he's
out.
Yeah, that will be the last one he plays in. But he also,
well, at least you guys can share a putter.
Yeah, right. So, and he keeps asking me, like he thinks I'm not going to do it. Like, keeps asking if I'm going to putt left-handed. It's like, buddy, I'm going to putt left-handed. And
he'll do it. I've seen it.
I had a club championship match last night and made just so many more putts than I ever would have dreamt of making right-handed. Just much more, especially like those 3 or 4 footers, the ones you kind of need to make that I wish I didn't have to putt. But given my track record, I think word spreads that I even had to ask the guy I was playing on one if he's been talking to my playing buddies, because he made me putt like such a short putt. But that was not the case.
So last question on your member guest. How many? So this was structured 18 Thursday, 18 Friday, and then, or sorry. Yeah. 18 Thursday, 18 Friday, 27 on Saturday. And I will tell you that some of the even myself, my back, by the time that back nine was coming for me, I was like, man, this is a lot of golf. And you got to think some of these older guys, like, that's a lot of golf. I thought 27 on Saturday was weird. They should have done it on Friday, I guess, is more my point. So is yours an even split, or what is yours set up?
Yeah, it's just the practice round, just 18, but there's a better ball of partners associated with it. So it feels like you can win some money off it. So we try to play well in that, but then it's just 18 holes on Friday, 18 holes on Saturday with the Calcutta, whatever it'd be after it.
I think that makes more sense.
Yeah. And I think if they were to have mixed events and you made the alternate shot, one of the 27 holes, like one of the 9 holes, that becomes just much more easy, obviously easier, less swings.
Right.
I wish we did one more. It always just feels like it goes by so quickly. But I do recognize that there are older members that can't quite play as much, apparently, like you.
My back was feeling
80 degrees. That was gorgeous. I don't know.
So here's my thing. Here's my gripe. Here's my complaint. And here's where, and it's self-induced probably, but so in between all of the nines, they had us sitting for a while. And the 1-9, we sat in between for an hour. And then we went back out for the next 9, and I just got so stiff. I sat in the cart for just too long. Didn't stretch, didn't stay loose, and then that was where we were at. But I think you bring up a good point. 27 on a day would make a lot of sense if you mixed in an alternate shot, because that brings down a lot of swings, yeah, for sure.
All right. Anything else?
That's it for me.
All right. Well, good luck at the 3M Open Championship. We will talk to you all next week.
All right. Have a good weekend, everybody.
All right. See ya.